Thank you so much for joining us on the River City Church podcast. If you're blessed by this message today, we would love to hear from you. Check out our website at rivercitychurch.cc and let us know what God is doing in your life. If you would like to support this ministry financially, click the giving link on our website and choose the best option for you. Thank you again for joining us today. We hope you enjoy the message.
Welcome to the house of God. Anybody happy to be in God's house this morning on a rainy day? Dude, I'm happy to be here. Well, why don't you turn to your neighbor, tell them this morning. Tell them the rest of your life will be the best of your life. Tell them that today. Try that out on them today. Come on, let's say it for ourselves. Somebody say, the rest of my life is going to be the best of my life in Jesus' mighty name. It's good to have you here. My name is Pastor Brian Gibson, and I'm excited today. I've been so excited about today's service and today's message. I was up like five times last night, so I kept getting up, getting ready. I didn't want to sleep through. I have this fear. Does anybody else have a fear or repetitive dream where you show up late at one of the most important things that you do? So, you know, sometimes you show up late. Sometimes I'll show up to church in my dreams late, and I'll get up here, and I'll have nothing to say, and you'll all be looking at me, and I just will have absolutely nothing. And I'm not even going to tell you about the dreams where I show up without clothes on, because that's just going to get weird in here, all right? But those dreams, it's the important things that matter. So I've been preaching to you all night, and I'm so glad to get here and do it this morning. But let's do this. Let's take a moment and let's pray and invite the Spirit of God. How many of y'all believe the Spirit of God is already here, man? We sense Him in worship, and I'm thankful that He's here. I was right behind that curtain just soaking it in, and I'm thankful for our worship team and God's presence here. Let's pray and let Him come talk to us. Open up our hearts to Him. Father, we pray now. We come to You in the name of Jesus. We come to You in a name that is above every other name, a name by which every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that He is Lord. We come to You in the name of the Savior, in the name of the Healer, in the name of the Provider. And Father, we say that it is the King. He is the King above all kings. He's the Lord above all lords. Now we open our hearts to You. We pray that You would speak, guide, direct, do what only You can do in this service. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we welcome You, Holy Spirit. And the church said, amen, amen. Well, if you have a Bible on you this morning, I want you to go ahead and open it up to the book of 1 Kings. We're going to go to 1 Kings, and we're going to start reading in a moment in verse 17. And I want to go ahead and entitle this message, A Gift Can Change Your Life. A gift can change your life. 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 8. And you know, at the end of this message, we're going to pledge together and we're going to receive our seventh hand offering over the next 8 weeks. We've been talking about it a couple of weeks, and people have been talking to their people and praying, seeing what God would have them do. And it's going to be a dedication Sunday. It's going to be powerful. I believe this, that God, how many of y'all believe that God loves a cheerful giver? I believe He loves a cheerful giver, but He will also take it from a grouch. So if you're cheerful, get ready today. If you're a grouch, get ready today. All right, 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 8, it reads like this. This is a story of a widow's gift. It says, then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I've commanded a widow. Everybody say a widow. I've commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the city, indeed, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me. And afterward, make some for yourself and your son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah. And she and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord which he spoke by Elijah. Somebody ought to give God a hand clap, because he can take care of people no matter where they are or what they're facing. Amen. God can take care of you. And here's what happens. Elijah the prophet, one of the most powerful prophets in the Old Testament, he's found himself in a battle with Jezebel and Elijah, who were wicked king and queen over Israel. And they were leading the people of Israel to worship false gods. And Elijah was one of the true prophets of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he had this time where he came face to face with Ahab, and he prophesied to Ahab, that wicked king. He said, because of what you've done to the land of Israel, because of the false worship that's happened here, the Lord God says a drought will hit the land. And it's not going to rain again until I say it'll rain. And then the drought hits the land. It's all good when you're prophesying and you're powerful. But then even Elijah couldn't find anything to eat. We're not talking about a drought like one that's hit here. I've lived through a few small droughts in 20 years, what we would call drought in Kentucky. But a drought in Kentucky and a drought in Israel, we're talking about two different kinds of droughts, aren't we? Because it's already dry. It's already barren looking. The water that comes there comes from the Sea of Galilee. It comes down from the Jordan River. There's a Dead Sea that you can't drink out of that's full of salt. Other than that, the only water that hits the land will come up from certain oases at places. So this drought hits the land, and it is tough. Man, people are dying. People are without. There's nothing to eat. And you can look here in America and you say, there's a drought here. I can go over here and find something to eat. But listen, if there's a drought in Israel, you go south to the land of Egypt, it's a desert. These people, that they lived about 30 miles from where they grew up. They wouldn't know where to go. They were destitute. There was trouble. And Elijah, he was being fed at one place, and that provision ran out. And then God gives him a word because he wants to take care of the ministry. And he says, here's where I want you to go. I want you to go down to Zarephath. And it's interesting. I want you to look at the text. He says that God had already commanded someone. Everybody say commanded someone. God's a God that can command us. Come on, he is Lord, and we are subjects. Somebody say amen to that. He is king, and we are here to serve him. He is father, and we are son and daughter. And he commanded someone, and it's interesting that it doesn't say that he commanded a CEO to provide for Elijah. Doesn't say that, does it? Doesn't say he commanded some fat cat. Come on, somebody. He didn't say go to Seattle and find Bill Gates, and I'll provide for you. He didn't say, Elijah, you ought to go on Shark Tank and stand before Mark Cuban. Cuban's going to take care of you. He didn't say that. He said, no, I want you to go down to Zarephath, and I want you to find a widow. And a widow will sustain you. You know, it's interesting that he found somebody that the rest of the world would say, this person can't hardly take care of themselves. But God looked at him, and he didn't see the impossibility that the eye of man sees. He saw the possibility of his kingdom and his nature and his spirit. And he said, there's a widow in Zarephath, and I'm going to use her to do something supernatural. And her name's going to go in the book because of her allegiance to me. Come on, somebody give God a hand clap for the gift of a widow. I'm telling you, if you're out there and you feel like you can barely make ends meet, you're somebody that God's probably commanded to provide for the ministry. Come on, somebody. If you're out there and you're in one of the toughest places of your life, you look like a candidate for a miracle to me. If you're out there and you're saying, listen, Brian, I'm not there yet. Listen, today you're there. If a widow with just a little flour and a little oil can start a revival and keep the ministry living, how many of you think that God can use you right where you are today? Come on. He's going to command somebody like us to do something big for the kingdom of God. Everybody say, here I am, Lord. Use me. So this widow gets called by God. Here's how the story goes. The prophet shows up. He walks up. And just like the Lord says, you know, it's like, God, you're sending me to a widow. Think about being the prophet that's sent to do that. And it's kind of like, can't you send me to a king or send me to a commander of an army? Can't you send me somewhere else? And I think people in ministry, a lot of times they think that there's somebody like that that's going to take care of all the needs. I'll tell you, in the history of River City Church, you know who's taking care of the needs of the ministry? It's been just normal people. People that are doing what God's called them to do. I believe this, if we all do what we're called to do, ministering to Owensboro and the world will be easy. It's not just a few people that get to do it. See, giving is not just the hype or some sort of thing that the rich get to do. Giving is the privilege of every born-again child of God. It's something that we all get to do. God gives us that. There's a joy in giving. So the prophet walks up, and just like the Lord said to him, there's a widow standing there when he gets to the city. And he says, he sees she's gathering some sticks, and he says, can you go get me some water? I'm thirsty. Go get me some water. And then he says, as you're going, I'm hungry too. says, will you bring me a morsel of bread? He wasn't asking for much. He was just asking for a morsel. You're talking about a woman here who is hopeless. She's hopeless. She's down to the bottom of her barrel. She has enough for one more meal. She has a son to take care of. Her husband is dead. She's in the middle of a drought, and she's already given up. There's no hope left for this woman. She looks up at the prophet. She's at the bottom of her life. Listen, there is never a time you are too hopeless for God to move in your life. God is the God of hope. And I'll tell you, if you'll hold on to hope, your tomorrow can change. Your miracle might be right around the corner. And this woman is hopeless. The prophet says, hey, go bring me a cake. Bake me something. She looks up and she says, sir, I'm sorry. I have just a little bit of meal. And I have just a little bit of oil. Now, I intend to go bake a cake with this meal and this oil. And me and my son are going to go eat it. It's our last meal. We're going to do this. And then we're going to die. She only had vision for one more meal. That was it for her. I mean, and I'll tell you, I've been in places where people are destitute. You see it. Where there's no hope left in the house. And I'll tell you what they need more than anything else is they need the word of the Lord to come to them. Because the word of the Lord bursts hope. And the word of the Lord comes to Elijah at that point. And he says, you go take that cake and you go bake it and you bring it to me first. He says, bake me a cake. Bring it to me first. Now that's strong, isn't it? The world would shake their finger at a prophet that asked a widow on her last dime to give it to me instead of take it yourself. The world would say something like, why don't you leave that woman alone? She suffered enough. Let her eat her cake and die. But you see, the prophet of God and the word of God won't let you die right where you are. He's going to call you with a word and demand a seed out of you so that seed can die and you won't die. And that seed can have a death, burial, and resurrection. And then you can really live and you can really have life. Unless a seed falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But come on, if it dies, we have resurrection power. That's what giving is about. Man, we give and something in us dies. How many of y'all feel like you die sometimes when you give? You know, the word talks about being a cheerful giver, and there's times I've been cheerful, but there's times I'm not very cheerful at all. Like, I had a number last night I wanted to give, and Jesse upped it 2,000. I'm like, I don't know about that. But I'll tell you, if two of you have a number in your house, the big one's God. Just look at your neighbor and say, the big one's God. Tell him that. I believe that, so I'm going to go with her. And so he looks at this woman and says, you bake me a cake, you bring it to me first. And then he goes on and he prophesies. I'm telling you, hope's birthed whenever you give. I believe a new hope for a better tomorrow is going to hit this church because of this offering. I believe it. So there's something about giving by faith that opens up the heart to believe again. It's one of the strongest things I ever do. Now, I'll tell you, whenever I have a real need, me and Jesse have a real need, we pray, we fast, and we look for somewhere to give. We're going to give. Because I know my seed is my answer. And my tomorrow is not dictated by any problem. My tomorrow is not dictated by the economy. My tomorrow is not dictated by the president or the Democrats or the Republicans. My tomorrow is dictated by my God and by the power of my seed. And if I sow my seed, I have a sure tomorrow. That is a gospel promise. Be not deceived. Whatsoever a man sows, also shall he reap. And you can work that. The word will work if you work it. And so what the woman did is she baked that cake. He went on and he prophesied afterwards. He said, listen, you give this and the oil won't run out. The meal won't go dry. God's going to provide for you till this famine is over. I'm telling you, the word of the Lord is always attached to giving. Anytime I come and give, that word's working. Give and it shall be given unto you. Whenever I give, I know that word is working. Whosoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will reap bountifully. I know whenever I give, the word is working. Whoever waters others will be watered himself. I know that whenever I give, God's going to press it down, shake it together. It's going to run over in my life. Come on, I know whenever I give, I know that a miracle is right around the corner. How many of y'all believe that the word of God is attached to our giving? So the prophet says this. He says, it's going to last. And so the woman does what the prophet says. You know, I've seen Jesse do something like this before. I'm going to put it on Jesse. Jesse's like, don't tell that story. I sound mean. I'm like, I'm telling it anyway. It's a good story, you know. Preachers do anything for material. But I remember years ago we were preaching. And we're talking about the tithe. We believe in that. Believe in it big time. Live by it. It's one of the first things we do. It's a Christian discipline for us. And we were teaching somebody, it was years ago, I'm talking 10, 11 years ago, talking about the tithe, and a woman came up and told Jesse, like, listen, I want to give, but I'm telling you, I want to give, but if I give this week, I don't have stuff to feed my kids, and I can't buy diapers for my children. What do I do? Jesse looked at her. How many know that's a tough question to get as a preacher? Right? Because your compassion wants to let them off the hook in the natural. But if you let them off the hook in the natural, you've let them off a bigger hook, which is the Word of God, which can change their life forever. So you got to find out, where am I going? Am I going with the Word, or am I going with the way I feel right now? And Jesse looked at her and said, you better give. God's called you to. It's in the Word. I can't release it. You give, God will take care of you. And you know what? That mama gave, and God took care of her. Because we went out and bought her food and diapers after she gave. Come on, somebody. So you figured out how to get the best of both worlds, right? And she kept giving, and God has taken her life, and I've watched her life over the course of years. She's went higher and higher and been promoted and promoted. I've known her for a dozen years now, and the blessing of God's come on her life in the financial realm. Come on, somebody give God a hand clap. You can make a decision. It'll change your life. A gift can change your life. So the prophet looked and said, bring me a cake, and she brought him a cake. And the Bible says that a miracle happened. That prophet ate that cake, and she did what the Word of God said. And man, the blessing of God came upon what she did. And then whenever she went back to the meal again to make another meal supernaturally, there was meal for food there in the middle of that bowl. And whenever she needed oil to cook another cake, there was oil there in the middle of that bowl. And for the rest of the year, the rest of that famine, other people starved and other people didn't make it. But that woman who obeyed the Word of the Lord, her and her son, they lived and they made it. It was one of the greatest years of their life. There was supernatural sustenance in the midst of a drought. I'm telling you, it's one thing to prosper in an up economy. It's one thing to prosper when everything else is working. But whenever you're prospering and the world is suffering, you got the Word of God working on your behalf. Think about it. Think about what all happened here. Who all got blessed because of this gift? First, the woman that gave the gift got blessed. I'm telling you, whenever you're a giver, you live a blessed life. Now, I've heard the testimonies from people who give. And the testimony of people who give is almost always, we are so blessed. It's just the general theme of their life. We are so blessed. God takes care of us. And I've heard the testimony of people who don't give. And their testimony is always, I just can't afford it. I think there's a connection in those two things. I think the person that gives is the blessed person. The person that won't give, there's just this thing lifted off their life. Not that they're terrible people and not that I'm sentencing them to hell with my preaching or anything. I'm just saying there's a missing component to your life until you become generous. That's what giving does in the midst of our life. It brings that blessing, that touch on what we do. See, this woman, she got supernaturally blessed. She's blessed. I'm telling you, you're going to be blessed in the midst of this offering. You're going to be blessed for giving today. I'm going to be blessed in the midst of this offering. I declare by faith, I'm going to be blessed through my giving. The Word says that. So I'm going to be blessed, but listen, I don't just give to be blessed. I give because I love God. And I'd give to God whether He ever did anything back for me again, because He's already been so good to us. He's already done so much for us that I give freely to Him whether He ever gives back to me. But God's not a man that will be outdone. He will not be outgiven. He will not let you pick up the check more than He'll pick up the check in your life. He's that kind of guy. You know, some people, you go out to eat with them and they'll never grab the check. You've seen that commercial, alligator arms, right? The alligator just can't reach for the check. Then some people are generous and they got a long arm. They can get that check. See, God's not short arm. God's got a long arm. It's the long hand of God, right? He can reach and He can help. You know, I was reminded of a story of a man that was a supernatural giver. He gave and he got blessed. His name was Lee Braxton. And Braxton was from a small town in North Carolina. And Braxton was a mechanic. He was working years ago, and he had a small salary. It was like $40 a week when he started. And him and his wife, they had a start in life, and they bought a home. And he was working as a mechanic. They were barely making it. They were paying their mortgage and had enough to eat. And something happened with the business he worked at, and he got laid off. It wasn't making it. And so Braxton becomes destitute, and he's got this money he owes to the bank he can't pay. And he's trying to work, trying to find a job, but it's a tough time in America when he was a young man, and there just was no work. And finally, the bank, they came, and they took Braxton's house. And so Braxton goes, as he's destitute, to church, and he answers an altar call. How many know God can use the tough times to bring you to Him? And he gets born again. His wife gets born again. They get filled with the Spirit. They find out about giving, and they find out about giving offerings. And they begin to do that. God opened up another avenue for Braxton to work in life. And he got a plan. He started planning and giving on what he was going to do in the future. He opened up his own auto parts store, and he began selling auto parts. And that began to work. The hand of God began to come upon it. And then he had a dream because the bank had repoed his house. He was going to start his own bank in the little town he was from in North Carolina. And he was going to show them up. And he started his own bank, and the blessing of God came upon that bank. And he started another business and another business. And by the time this guy was done, the guy who had nothing when he started giving, he had 22 different organizations he was the head of. And he became a major leader and a voice in charismatic renewal and revival in America. He became second in command at one time of something called the Full Gospel Businessmen's Association. And his wife became sick. Lee had been a giver all his life. Braxton been a giver since those days. His wife became sick, and he took her to a meeting of the chancellor who started the university that Jesse and I went to, Oral Roberts, to one of his meetings. And President Oral Roberts laid hands on his wife, and she was healed of cancer. God delivered Braxton's wife from cancer. Yeah, that's where you clap your hands. Supernatural. And then Braxton already was blessed financially, and he told Oral Roberts, I want to help you. I want to be your right hand. I don't have to be paid. He's in a situation to help the church for nothing. And when Oral Roberts decided he wanted to go on TV, Lee Braxton is the guy that made the deals and got him on television. And then God spoke to Oral Roberts that he was going to build a university. And Braxton is the guy that put together the land deals and was the business mind behind the whole operation. And he's one of the reasons that ORU exists. So Braxton's giving blessed Braxton. And Braxton's giving blessed his family. Come on, Braxton's giving blessed the ministry of Oral Roberts University. Braxton's life helped set up the university that your pastors were trained at, and a lot of the spiritual DNA of this church comes from. That one man's giving, I'm telling you, that's how giving works. It may start with us, but it doesn't stop with us. How many know we're part of a bigger picture, a tapestry of grace called the kingdom of God. Somebody give God a hand clap that we can do something small in our life and it can become something large. There was a dorm named after him at ORU in the early days. There was the Braxton dorm that was named after him. Listen, his giving, it changed his life. Jesse and I, we've given and it's changed our life. I remember being college kids at Oral Roberts University. We were going to school there, and our church had a building project, had some stuff that we needed to take care of and do. We felt led by the Spirit of God. Man, we ought to give. We ought to be a part of this. And we made a pledge. I remember we made a pledge of like $2,500. It's college kids, and we're going to give to that building fund. And we didn't make any money. I worked at a golf course. I worked there in a cart barn cleaning up golf carts, and I was a caddy. And we pledged that money, and I'll tell you, it took faith to pledge it. We didn't know where it was going to come from. But we said, hey, we're going to give this, and God's going to meet it. Looking back, I was thinking about it last night. You know, after we gave that money, the U.S. Open, it came to Tulsa, Oklahoma. And so nobody could, 2001 U.S. Open was at the golf course that I worked at. Nobody could drive a cart, because you're talking about one of the most biggest golf tournaments in the world, the U.S. Open. Nobody could drive a cart on those courses for some time, so the turf would become perfect. And I was a caddy. And if the members wanted to play golf, what did they have to take if they wanted to go around and not carry their own bag? They had to take a caddy. And so my caddy rounds, after we made that pledge, went from having just a few here and there, and most of the time I'd carry a bag for 4 hours on one shoulder. With one bag, sometimes you could make almost $100. It's a lot of money for a college kid. And then most of the time I would carry two bags, a bag on each shoulder. And you're walking 4 hours in the Oklahoma heat. And I would do two rounds a day. Be 8 hours, two bags on my shoulder. And sometimes after that, I'd come home with $300, $400, $500 days. God made sure, supernaturally, that I could pay my pledge, and then he blessed us. I'm telling you, I made more money caddying that year than I made in the first 5 years pastoring. Come on, God will help you right where you are. He's the kind of God that if he leads you to do it, I'm telling you can do it. We were blessed because of that. You know, the lady was blessed when she gave. The second person that was blessed whenever she gave was her son. Everybody say her son. That son was going to eat his last meal and he was going to die. That boy wasn't going to have a future. But whenever she gave, she opened up the future for generations in her bloodline. You know, there's something spiritual that happens whenever we give. I believe that whenever we give, it's not just accredited to us in the spiritual realm. I believe it's accredited to our bloodline. As a matter of fact, the book of Hebrews talks about a man by the name of Levi. And it says this, it says that Levi paid tithes while he was still in Abraham's loins. That his great-great-granddaddy Abraham, you ought to look it up later. It's in Hebrews. I'll see if I got the verse here. I don't have a lot of time. It's in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 9. Says that Abraham gave tithe, and whenever he gave tithe, whenever he paid his tithes, that it was accredited to Levi as Levi being a giver. I'm going to tell you, whenever we're a giver, I believe we affect our children's spiritual DNA. There's something that comes into their life, and they're different than the people who aren't that way. There's something that goes down into the bloodline. Being raised by a giver is a heritage that's supernatural. Now, I was thinking about it, like my kids, I know they're at least, they'll be third generation tithers, if not fourth. You know how many of y'all got some grandparents you're not sure about? It's like, maybe, I think so, I don't know. But I know their fifth generation was. And so I think there's a power in it when one generation declares to the next the wonderful works of God. We heard our kids fighting. Chapel and Justice were fighting this morning on who was going to give the most in kids ministry. And Justice had his money together. And you got to watch Chapel because she'll steal everybody's money in the house and give it on Sunday morning. She'll come by, she's like 6 years old. I'm like, let me see in your purse, honey. I'm like, you have $347 in your purse. Where'd you get that? She's like, I took it from your pants and mama's purse. And I'm like, it's real easy to give my money. You got to give your money away. That's when it's a gift, right? But I'm telling you, those kids get blessed, don't they? Supernaturally, because they're raised by a giver. Third thing that got blessed whenever that woman gave is the ministry of God got blessed. How many of y'all want to see the ministry be blessed? How many of y'all want to see your church blessed? Our kids' ministry blessed? Come on, somebody. How many of y'all want to see what we're a part of? I want it to be a blessed place. She gave, and Elijah, the prophet of God, was taken care of. He was the ministry of God. He's the prophet. He was bringing the word of the Lord. You know where the voice of God comes from now to modern America? It comes through the church. The church is the ministry. Whenever we give, the ministry is taken care of. It's blessed, and it matters. A financially strong ministry is a ministry that's reaching people. A financially strapped ministry is a ministry that's arm does not become as long. We need our church to be blessed. And I'll tell you who he wants to use to bless it. He wants to use those of us who are here today. Right now, the people that will be born again in this building today probably already have been born again. They were born again because somebody gave and created a place for them to be born again. Come on, somebody. Those of you that gave to get us in this building, you created a space for kids to be ministered to, youth to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, marriages to be put back together. Those of you that gave created a place for like 1,000 or more people to pray to receive Christ a year right here in our sanctuary. You've created a space and you've blessed the ministry. So we give today, we're gonna bless this ministry. This ministry is gonna be taken care of supernaturally. The last group of people that were blessed whenever that woman gave, the last group of people was the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel, not just the ministry itself, but the whole nation of Israel was blessed because Elijah was taken care of. And Elijah was gonna come out later and absolutely prophesy against Ahab and Jezebel, those that have taken Israel into its worst days ever. And the prophetic word that he would speak would bring them down and a new era would come to Israel. I believe if we take care of the church and we take care of what we're called to do, the preaching of the word can change the spiritual environment in our entire nation. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask, think, or imagine. Come on, let's give God one more big hand clap this morning. He's going to work through us.